Living Reconciled, a podcast dedicated to giving our communities practical evidence of the gospel message by helping Christians learn how to live in the reconciliation that Jesus has already secured for us by living with grace across racial lines.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Living Reconciled. This is episode 28. I am your host, Brian Crawford, and I am with one of my co-hosts and an incredibly good friend, a really, really, really good friend, maybe even a better friend than my other co-host. Since he's not here, I can say that.
I mean, you put me on the spot.
I can say that. He's not here.
Well, I was about to say I'm your only friend.
In this room, my only friend. Absolutely. See,
that's what I was going for. Your only friend.
That's right. Austin Hoyle. My only friend in this room.
Exactly.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good because you are also my only friend.
That's right. In this room.
In this room. In this room. Exactly. Right. In this room. I have to add that part.
We both have incredible friendships.
Yes. Incredible friendships.
Absolutely. This episode of Living Reconciled is sponsored by Atmos Energy, Regents Foundation, Brown Missionary Baptist Church, Christian Life Church, Miss Doris Powell, Mr. Robert Ward, and Miss Ann Winters. Thank you guys so much for doing what you do, because it's because of what you do that we're able to do what we do. Absolutely, man. We got a great episode. We want to talk a little bit about October the 26th, 2023, where we will be hosting what Nettie Winters calls the Super Bowl of Reconciliation. Super Bowl, the World Series, the Olympics.
The Sanderson Farm Championship
of Reconciliation. And that is our Living Reconciled celebration here at the Jackson Convention Complex in Jackson, Mississippi. It starts at 3 p.m. It will continue throughout the evening with a banquet that kicks off at 6:30. There's a conference that starts at 3 p.m. The banquet has all sorts of goodies. We're going to have our inaugural Luminary Awards where we will be celebrating honorees who have had profound impact in the work of Mission Mississippi and reconciliation over the course of the last 30 years in which Mission Mississippi has been in existence. And we will also have a great worship set by Donovan Thigpen and the Metro Worship Collective, which is a group of worship leaders that have been comprised from different ministries. They'll bring different styles and genres, which we're incredibly excited about.
That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be incredible. Awesome. Incredible. So I'm super excited about that. I get a chance to share a keynote address for the first time. I'm in front of a Living Reconciled Celebration audience as the president of Mission Mississippi, and I'm incredibly excited about that. And then we got just all sorts of other good things that we're going to be doing. But the conference is where I want to fix our attention on today.
Right.
Because we have a number of breakout discussions that are going to happen during the conference. We have the 30th episode of Living Reconciled that'll be recorded before a live audience. So a lot of questions and answers will be given that day, which we're excited about. But after that recording, we're going to have two rounds of breakout discussions. And in each of those rounds, there's going to be two breakouts for our registered participants to select. And one breakout, round one, is going to be Living Reconciled from 9 to 5, Reconciliation in the Workplace. Breakout number two is going to be around cultivating and sustaining or moving from a moment of reconciliation to a movement of reconciliation, which is cultivating and sustaining a healthy reconciliation movement in your city. And then round two is me and you. You're going to be talking about passing the baton, the next generation of reconcilers. And what does that look like to cultivate a healthy reconciliation movement with the next generation of leaders that are coming behind the legacy generation that has carried the torch for so long? And then, of course, the last breakout, which will be in another room with me and co-moderator by the name of TJ Tennyson, we will talk a little bit about moving from strangers to friends and the journey of reconciliation for a couple of individuals that have profound stories of how their friendships were birthed out of a similar heart for Christ and a similar heart for reconciliation. And so all of those breakouts are happening. What I want to do is I want to talk a little bit, Austin, as to why these breakouts are happening. What's the need for these breakouts? And what do we think our listeners can expect, what fruit can they glean from being a part of such a breakout and participating in these kind of talks and these kind of conversations. So let's start with round one. We're talking about reconciliation from 9 to 5, reconciliation in the workplace. Talk to me from your perspective, Austin, as to why reconciliation in the workplace or a posture of reconciliation in the workplace matters.
Oh, from my perspective, and I'm really excited. My good old, my new friend, I was about to say my good old friend. That's actually my new, my good new friend, Van Harden.
That's right.
Who is the missions pastor of Fondren Church, which is for me a new experience.
Yes.
Knowing them, but I know for Mission Mississippi, we've known and we've been a part of and working with Fondren Church for a little bit over the past several years, but he's going to be there. It's really important because, you know, just the very nature of the work that we do and just the complexities of human relationships, the complexities, I would even say the complexities of the gospel. A lot of people try to make the gospel to be something that is simple, and in some ways it very much so is, but it becomes complex when we try to ascertain how it is we're going to live the simplicity of the gospel in the world that is around us.
That's right.
And part of living out the simplicity of the gospel in the, just this very complex world is to know how it is that we are going to have a relationship with our peers, have a relationship with our colleagues, have a relationship that we... or if the people that we see, you know, 8 hours a day.
Right.
And some of it is that we don't have, on mass, even in churches, we don't have the expertise, the training, the intuition, to be able to navigate some of the relationships that we have in diverse settings in a way that's going to maximize that relationship to its highest potential and maximize that relationship to the point where reconciliation happens.
Absolutely.
To the point where people find and encounter a relationship with Jesus, to the point where people are matured. You know, we have out there in the world this racial division, which is a problem, which is where most of us work at. I've been blessed in my career to work mostly in churches, but we go out there and we have just competing ideologies. We have competing views for what the good life looks like.
Absolutely.
And this whole understanding of being able to bring reconciliation into that space is what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And what Van is going to be able to lead that conversation towards. So it's going to be a little bit of extra honing in on some of those details, some of those relationship building capacities, in many ways it's living out that reconciliation and that, you know, that call to be a gospel Christian in that 9 to 5 space.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because even in the workplace, there has been a profound impact in, as it relates to division.
Right.
Even in the workplace, you go to work and there's even dividing lines now at play there. And there's this kind of tension in the workplace where we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we, as we are navigating through our distinctions and as we're navigating through our cultural differences, our political partisanship and political differences and this climate where some people are saying, hey, you know, I feel like I should be here. And then some people are saying, well, I feel like, you know, there's been already enough advancement. And so you got some people that are saying, hey, we need advancement. You got some people that are saying, there's already been enough advancement. Then you got some people that are saying, I don't know where to stand right now. I'm just trying to keep peace. Right.
Yeah.
And so how do you exist in this space as Christians, trying to navigate all of the different ideas and all of the different opinions as it relates to the workplace? And so I'm incredibly excited because we got some really, really, really sharp people who are going to be helping us navigate through it. Johnny Donaldson is the executive vice president and chief culture officer at Bank Plus. And so Johnny is going to be on that group, which is just an incredible.
He's fantastic.
He's an incredible man with an incredible amount of wisdom. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him. Linda Waters is a public affairs manager at Atmos Energy, and she is a phenomenal woman. With a lot to say and incredible amount of experience. And so we're looking forward to hearing from her. Forrest Thigpen is a gentleman that I actually know. I've come to know. Dear man, love his heart for Jesus, love his heart for reconciliation. He's the senior advisor for Empower Mississippi, and he plays a critical role as it relates to strategy development and public policy research and advocacy. So Forrest is going to be with that group. And then lastly, but certainly not least, Chrissy Sanders, who is a dear friend of Mission Mississippi. Chrissy is a social media guru and media guru who works for Rich Perspectives. And so she's going to be a part of that group. And she has an incredible amount of passion for the work of reconciliation. So I'm really excited about all of those individuals.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going to be a phenomenal
group. Yeah, I mean, and if you notice, it's a good mixed group, and it's and it's a group also that is living out this particular work in their setting in a diverse level or amount of fields.
Absolutely, absolutely. Talk to me about the other breakout in round one. That breakout is going to be led by none other than our good friend.
Nettie Winters.
Our good friend.
Nettie Winters.
Our good friend.
Who's not in this room.
Who's not in this room.
Who's not in this room.
But he is a good friend.
But he's in this room in our hearts. Absolutely. We carry him around in our hearts.
Absolutely. And Nettie's going to be leading a breakout called From Moment to Movement, Sustaining a Reconciliation Movement in My City. He's going to be interviewing two individuals that we love. We actually just spent time with them during the summer, and that's going to be Stacy Miller and Wade Phillips.
Dr. Wade Phillips.
Dr. Wade Phillips.
Reverend Dr. Wade.
Reverend Phillips. Dr. Wade Phillips and Reverend Stacy Miller.
Yes.
They lead Mission Mississippi Meridian, and they actually have been embedded in this work of reconciliation in Meridian in a profound way for at least for Stacy's story. It goes back all the way 20 years. And so talk to me a little bit. We got a few minutes before the break, and we can pick up on this one if we need to. Talk to me a little bit about why it matters that you learn about sustaining a reconciliation movement in your city.
Because networking is key. Finding people who have a common goal as you, especially in this work, is important, because we can have all the passion and desire in our hearts to see the type of change that we want to see, all, you know, and that can be overflowing, but unless we're able to network, work with people from just a diverse backgrounds, you know, not just thinking racial diversity, but also just a diversity of businesses, nonprofits, people who work in the church, people who work in the schools and education, all of that is necessary. And so they're going to be talking about how they're able to bring people together from all of these different sectors to work towards a common goal.
Yeah. It's going to be incredible because, I mean, Austin, you know this. We see it all the time, and it's not just reconciliation, but it's any kind of work that has a righteous agenda. Mm-hmm. It is so incredibly easy to gather people and rally people. Heck, even for the 26th, we could say the same thing, to rally people for a big moment and get everybody incredibly excited. Mm-hmm. We all celebrate the fact that we came together under this particular banner of whatever righteous moment we're under.
But then what happens after? We're talking about the day-to-day, you know, in places that are far off from Jackson.
Absolutely.
You know, in particular, Stacy and Wade are going to be talking about how they were able to start things in Meridian, offering almost a blueprint.
Absolutely.
A blueprint for how to do that in absolutely other places.
And I'm incredibly excited about it because they're speaking about how they were able to birth this movement that's been ongoing now for the last 20 years and give some practical steps in terms of how you can do it in your context. But they're going to be speaking from the particular context of trauma.
Exactly. The tragedy that happened with the Lockheed Martin six.
Absolutely. Exactly. And so they'll be able to speak to the idea that, hey, it could have been, we could have tore the city apart. Mm-hmm. But instead of everyone tearing the city apart, they came together under the banner of Christian unity, and they made beauty from the ashes. So really excited.
But the work of reconciliation does not have to come out of tragedy.
Exactly.
It does not have to come out of tragedy. It can just come out of just the Holy Spirit working on people's hearts. Absolutely. To say, hey, we need to come together, even though it seems pretty quiet right now.
Absolutely.
We know that it may not be in the future for our particular community.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, it's passion, right? You know,
right,
what happened in Meridian was tragedy birth mm-hmm. is passion.
Exactly.
But passion is not only birth in tragedy.
Exactly.
Right? It can just be pure conviction that's driving this passion, mm-hmm. and this passion is what's driving this movement out of this moment. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, man, let's take a quick pause, and then we will be right back on this episode of Living Reconciled. Living Reconciled is a work of Mission Mississippi, but it is not our only work. From days of dialogue and prayer meetings to consultation for schools, businesses, and churches, Mission Mississippi is eager to help you, your team, your church, and your community live reconciled. Every month, join us for our weekly prayer breakfasts on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6:45 a.m., our bi-weekly statewide connection meetings on Fridays at 10 a.m., and a focused time of prayer on the third Thursday of the month at 7 a.m. To get details on any of our upcoming events or to learn how you can invite us to your church, business, or school, visit our website at missionmississippi.org and click on the events button or call us at 601-353-6477. Hey, thanks so much again for joining us on Living Reconciled, episode 28. I am your host, Brian Crawford, with my best friend in the room, Austin Hoyle.
I still like only friend.
But only okay. friend.
Only friend in the room.
In the room.
In the room.
In the room.
I still like only
friend. Austin Hoyle. We are talking about the October 26th event, Living Reconciled Celebration, Jackson Convention Complex. We want you to go out even right now as you're listening. Stop what you're doing. Press pause. If you're listening on your radio, just literally pull your car over right now and go to missionmississippi.org, register. It's incredibly important.
But make sure if you're driving on I-55 to just get off of the I-55 first. Don't just pull over.
Yeah.
Be a little bit strategic about it because
absolutely.
That road is crazy.
Absolutely. If you're on a Vicksburg road, it's probably okay to just pull over. There's exactly. not that much traffic.
Yeah,
if you're on a Jackson Interstate, then let's find an exit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But go to missionmississippi.org and register immediately for the 26th. We can't wait. We can't wait to see you guys on the 26th.
Right. Just had to do that PSA.
Yeah. Round two of our breakouts. First breakout, passing the baton, reconciliation for the next generation of leaders, led by my only friend in the room, Reverend Dr. Austin Hoyle.
I'm excited about leading this one. Man, I've got, you guys have saddled me with a fantastic group of people that I don't even know. If I need to ask them questions, they're just so fantastic. I just think they're going to take it and run with it. You have a Samuel Bolin, who's a Jackson Leadership Foundation.
Incredible. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have Shonda Roby.
Yep.
Who is executive director of Real Christian Foundation.
Incredible.
You have Jason Smiley Abrams.
Incredible man. At InterVarsity, leading the charge on our collegiate in the collegiate context and on college campuses across this metro area and beyond. He's doing incredible work, and he's also a very gifted author and writer. Mm-hmm.
Definitely
poet. He's a man of many, many talents.
So. And he does indeed smile.
He does smile.
He does indeed smile. Like it's not an ironic name. It's actually who he is.
He does smile.
I met him and he was smiling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hence his nickname, Smiling.
Exactly. And finally, it is John Hugh Tate.
Absolutely.
Founder of Bellwether Church, just right over on Northside Drive.
Yeah.
And off Northside Drive. And I believe it's what becomes Wayneland. And I forgot the name of that intersection.
Yeah.
What,
yeah. What yeah. You becomes. Got the, you got that, old Canton area.
Old
Canton. Well. Yeah, absolutely.
Old Canton area.
Absolutely.
So,
and then
so,
of course he is now the International Church Planner of Mystery. Because he's in Paris, France.
Yes, yeah, he's planning a church, an international church for
absolutely.
Internationals in Paris, France.
Absolutely.
And I'm jealous. I didn't know you could do that, and I might ask him questions of how to plant churches in Paris.
Might be working on your resume and polishing it off.
Yeah. Just I need to go in an interview with this guy. Not to, you know, oh, geez. No, Brian, is that how you see things?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just listening.
All right,
just collecting information from my only friend in the room.
only friend in the room.
So tell me about why this matters.
So it matters because the generations change, cultures change, and the persons who are birthed in certain cultures and who are raised in certain cultures understand that culture really well. They understand their peers. They understand what's going on in the kind of the collective thinking of the people, and they have a burden for those people in a way that they're insiders. So this whole concept of passing the baton, you know, refining our processes, you know, engaging in cultural conversations, maybe in a different way than we had in the past, is not to negate the work that was ever done in the past, because the legacy members are so important. The people who have come before us and who have been just giving the standard for what reconciliation is and looks like, it's so important to for them to then be able to serve as mentors to those of us who are younger, to those of us who are, you know, we're shown a whole host of different problems that may seem akin to problems that have come in the past, or maybe even flow from problems, or maybe even flow from solutions to problems that have happened in the past, and they've had unforeseen consequences.
Right.
And it's up to the next generation to be able to take that baton, to be able to run with it, to be able to live out these this arena of issues, of cultural issues that we engage in. And then to be able to say, yes, we're going to continue on this path. We see that this simplicity of the gospel that the generation before us had lived out as something that we can also live out, even though now the church, our communities, our businesses, our governments, our educational institutions all have a host of different issues that they're facing, maybe a different context, but yet the simplicity of the gospel that was lived out by the legacy members is the same simplicity of the gospel that we're being called to live out right here and right now. And this whole conversation is about how we can continue to live into this gospel calling that we as reconcilers are doing that, but maybe just with a different intuition for how to do that than has been done in the past.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about historically the iteration or the journey of confessions of faith, and it doesn't even matter, you know, what your denominational affiliation is. A lot of times what people don't understand is that statements of faith, confessions of faith, are outworkings of particular cultural moments, right? They're addressing particular cultural issues. And so that's why there will be certain emphasis that rise to the surface in one confession of faith versus one that was, you know, 100 years before that one, right?
Right.
And so it speaks to the idea that the new day and the new context, the new historical context that you may be living in, chronological context, time context, if you will, that you may be living in, still has the same answer, the gospel.
Exactly.
But the gospel is addressing different issues, and what the as the handing of the baton, what it calls for is to take the people that are in that particular generation, in that particular cultural moment, and are living and facing those issues every single day, to give language from the gospel as to how to address the issue.
And we have those saints who have come before us,
who
quite frankly have decades of wisdom on us.
Absolutely.
We may know the culture in ways that are more intimate, but in ways they will have more wisdom.
Absolutely.
And in so many ways. And it's that wisdom that's indispensable.
Yeah. And you need both parties at play. You need that senior wisdom, that sage like wisdom, right? And you need this youthful energy and kind of cultural understanding coming together which is why we call it passing the baton, right?
Exactly.
Because there's two parties involved in order for it to be successful. You know, you can't have one party or the other. You got to have two parties at work in the handoff. And if one party's off their game, then the handoff does not work. And so you need both people involved and committed to the handoff in order for it to be successful.
It's a problem when the younger folks are indifferent to the wisdom that is being offered.
Absolutely.
And it's also a problem when legacy folks are withholding wisdom for any number of reason, or
absolutely
haven't acquired it, or whatever reason. So absolutely. It's for movements like ones that we have, like one we have here at Mission Mississippi, for it to continue for another 20, 30 years, because the context of the world is not going to become better unless the gospel is interworked in the world. It's imperative for these types of organizations to have that very multi-generational perspective.
Absolutely.
And co-laboring with one another.
Absolutely. Austin, we got, unfortunately, about 3.5 minutes left to talk about this last breakout, which is From Strangers to Friends, Cultivating Healthy Relationships Through Living Reconciled. I'm co-moderating this breakout with a good friend, and the reason why I thought it was important to do that is because we did the same thing across racial lines, across ethnic lines. We were strangers who became friends. And so our moderation is going to speak to some of this as well. But we have TJ Tennyson, who's going to be helping me moderate this. And then also Pastor Thomas Jenkins, who's a pastor here in Jackson, Mississippi. Lee Paris, who they are good friends, and they have established an incredible friendship. And then on the other side, we have two dynamic sisters, Sherry Tynes and Jackie Mack, who are incredible friends, who have established incredible friendships over the past several years out of when they once did not have any relationship at all. And so talk to me about why this matters as we think about reconciliation while we got a few minutes left.
Once again, it's about getting that example of the practical outworking and the practical living out of the gospel. When we are faced with people who have done that hard work, who have broken down the divisions, it does things for us. It shows that it's possible, you know, so it keeps those doubts abated that it's possible. And another thing it does is it invites us to that type of richness of relationship building that can happen. It can even be something that will enrich and help the relationships that we have, and we'll be able to see things from a bigger and wider perspective, from the perspective that God has asked for us to live.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too, Austin, just to add on to what you just said. I'm excited about it because there's an incredible depth to both of these friendships, or to all of these friendships.
Yes, very
right. Deep. You know, when we think about friendships across racial lines, we sometimes check the box when we just have acquaintance, right?
Right, right. Right?
We're on talking terms. We don't hate each other. Mm-hmm. We might not go out to dinner. We might not take, mm-hmm. Take our families with us. We might not have any, engagement beyond our workspace.
I may or may not know your middle name. Yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But we're just kind of associates. But these friendships go incredibly deep. These are people that have cried together. They've wept together. They've celebrated together. Their families have vacationed together. Mm-hmm. You know, over time. And so there's an incredible depth that has allowed vulnerability to be introduced into that friendship, which is where most of the true and deep unifying across racial lines happens.
Right.
It doesn't happen in the space where we're all just kind of cordial and on our P's and Q's. It happens in the space of just really authenticity and vulnerability. And that's what we're going to see in that breakout. So I'm incredibly excited about that one.
Yeah, excellent. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. If you would like, again, to be a part of this incredible day, October the 26th, Jackson Convention Complex, Living Reconciled Celebration, 3 to 8:30 p.m., conference at 3, banquet at 6:30, celebration banquet at 6:30, please visit missionmississippi.org. Click on the banner that you see that talks about Living Reconciled. It'll take you to the registration page. Please register. Please invite your friends, college students, high school students. Here's good news for you. It's free of charge. Won't cost you a dime. And we would love for you to participate in the whole day, including the meal. The meal is free for you, college students and high school students. So we want to invite you out and be a part of this. It's going to be an incredible day. If you have never subscribed to our podcast, what are you waiting on? Please go to your favorite podcast app and click on or search for Living Reconciled. Again, Living Reconciled. We'll probably be the first podcast that pops up. Click on it, subscribe, join us as we continue to talk about reconciliation from all angles. I am your host, Brian Crawford, with my co-host and only friend
in the room.
In the room.
In the room.
Dr. Austin Hoyle.
All right. Thank you. God bless, my friend.
God bless. Take care.
Thanks for joining Living Reconciled. If you would like more information on how you can be a part of the ongoing work of helping Christians learn how to live in the reconciliation that Jesus has already secured, please visit us online at missionmississippi.org or call us at 601-353-6477. Thanks again for listening.